Hello, my name is Nicole, and thank you so much for taking this time out to listen. Today, I title this message, A Walk on the Dark Side Without Jesus. A Walk on the Dark Side Without Jesus. Now, those who are moved to help people who are children of darkness, you cannot do it without Jesus. You just can't, because if you go into settings, if you sit down and talk with someone who is in the dark, a master manipulator, a person who has a lot of demonic spirits working against them, as well as working against anyone who comes in contact with them, you will be sucked into the drama, the mess, and they might even put you to test. Okay? You might even find yourself going back into your old life, because one thing about Satan, he's not stupid. He can see a weak believer, and he will have his way with a weak believer. I know some people think that they're very strong in Christ and that they can walk on the dark side and everything will be okay because I'm going to come right out smelling good. Not without Jesus. If you're doing it in your own strength, if you're doing it because you believe that it is the right thing to do, and you haven't spent any time praying, fasting, you barely read your word. One thing about people who are in darkness, they're going to see you. And they're going to play on your weakness. They're going to have a little fun with you. This one calls himself or herself a Christian. Okay, let's see. Because one thing I know about Christians is they're weak for, and then whatever they're weak about, one thing about it, that Satanist or that person who is just not into God, or the backslider, or those that look at God as a money God, a genie God, they're going to have their way. I don't recommend anyone walking on the dark side at all, but if you have to, because there are those times where maybe you got to walk in darkness with Jesus, of course, to pull somebody up out of something, okay? Because they are too ill, too sick, too twisted mentally, physically, or what have you, to get out on their own. I understand that. Sometimes you got to be that one to walk up in the bar, walk up in the club, go over there to the ghetto and pull somebody out. I get that. But we're not supposed to be sitting there chilling with the fellas. We're not supposed to be over there, you know, revisiting our old lives, hanging out with some females and doing any number of things. No, we're supposed to come up out of those situations. I know money is funny. I know some people are hurting for some money, and so they'll go back to the dark side. Let's talk about that for a while. Why is it that people even go back? Well, money is funny, as I started to say. And so people are going to go over into the dark side because they're saying God is not moving fast enough. I need some money right now, like yesterday. If I got to be somebody's prostitute to do it, then so be it. If I got to be somebody's runner to move product from point A to point B, that's what I'm going to do. If I got to lie, if I got to steal, if I got to hurt somebody that's been hurting a whole bunch of other folks to get my portion, then that's what I'm going to do. That's how they reason. I'm not sitting here judging anybody. I'm just telling a story. I'm just bringing awareness to some things, because some of you all, you will receive Christ and you accept him and you're ready to, you know, go out there and fight the good fight. But you forget where you came from. Sometimes you forget about the weakness. Sometimes you forget about, the struggle, because you're doing good right now. But sometimes I have to remind people of the struggle and the darkness that folks are in, so that they will not totally lose sight of these things. And then, of course, lose sight of what God is telling them, why they should not do certain things, why they should not be in certain settings. Because, as I mentioned before, some folks are weak. They're still weak. They say they're strong, but they're really weak to some things. They still know that they got a little itch, a little, you know, tickle, if you will, within their body for certain people, places, and things. So if you know that you got that itch, and every now and again you want to scratch it, why would you be in that type of setting? Send somebody else who's stronger. Call the police, call, you know, the social worker, call a family member that can be able to deal with all of the issues. Because sometimes mentally we cannot handle some things. I know there are certain people that back before I was married, you know, I couldn't be around as I was moving toward the Lord. I just couldn't be around them because I knew that I was going to be weak for them. And I was going to go back into some, settings and do some things that God would say, I knew you weren't ready. And now you've grieved the Holy Ghost. And I started fearing the Lord more than anything and anyone else. And when that fear came upon me, I said, no, honey, it's not worth it. I had that self-talk. It's not worth it. It's not worth it going back. There is no amount of pleasure that anyone or anything could give me that's going to make me turn my back on the Lord when he has been there, when nobody else was. Those same people that want you to do this, that, and the other with them, when they get tired of you, what do? They end up arguing with you. They end up pushing you out. They end up having, you know, somebody else to replace you. They treat you worse because they hadn't seen you for a while. They figure you're going to abandon them anyway. So they call themselves pushing you out before you get rid of them, because they know that sooner or later the Christian's going to feel guilty about what he or she did. So guess what? You're going to cut me off again. So I'm going to push you out before you push me out. So light cannot stick around with darkness for so long before darkness is saying, you know, you're really light. Get out of here. You know, leading me on, telling me that you want this, that, and the other. You're not sold out. You sold out. You're not sold out to us. You sold out to dark or to the light. That's what you are. That's why you're crying. That's why you're broken. That's why you feel so ashamed, because you know you can't roll with us. You see? So I know that there is the temptations out there. Some of you all, I know that you dress a certain way and you act a certain way because you want some opportunities. You want some money and things like that. But I'm here to remind you that that's not the way to go. If you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to have to say goodbye to the old life. I know some of the sisters out here, they enjoy dancing on poles. I know some other folks, they enjoy hanging around different types of men, different types of women, because of what they can give them. I'm saying that if you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to have to say goodbye. Why? Why do we have to say goodbye? Why can't we bring all of our baggage along? Because it's a distraction. It's a distraction to walking with the Lord. That's why. That's why. If we're going to allow God to move on our spirit, and if we want the benefits of righteousness and holiness and all of the good that comes with that, then we've got to say goodbye to the old life. We've got to get away from that carnal mind. We cannot allow the flesh to override our spirit. If your quest is to have wisdom, to have peace, to have love, to have a sound mind, no longer unstable, and you don't want people to continue to attack you saying all sorts of crazy things because you keep putting yourself around them because you still need them, even though you shouldn't, you know, this is the sort of thing that's going to take place. You're going to find yourself having to struggle even more when you could have just walked with the Lord and drew near to him. You see, but no, I want to play two sides of the fence. Some people are like this, and we see it. We see it. We sit back and we say, now you're over there at the church talking about Jesus and you love the Lord. And then 6 days a week, you're doing everything else, including doing the brothers and sisters in Christ who are weak. That's why some people go to the church, because they want to connect with people that are trying to do better than them, even though they're not really willing to do all that they need to do. But if I can just attach myself to some folks, maybe that'll be some motivation. But instead of getting that, they find themselves bringing them down. And then when the Christian wakes up and realizes that he or she's being played or being used or abused, that's when things really get ugly. And so light is nothing more than darkness, or false light is nothing more than darkness. And then the sad part about it is the hypocritical, self-righteous, backsliding type of Christians want to hang folks on the cross and look at them as being evil and ugly and everything else when they allowed their weak minds, their weak flesh to control them. So now, you know, the world has to pay for the weak Christian. You know, I remember having a moment there. I can't get into too many details, but I remember having a moment with a believer. Matter of fact, it was a couple believers who were males. No, matter of fact, it was three that come to mind. I see all three of their faces, and they were mad at me because they were weak. So you sitting there going to church on Sunday, but then you're hanging out with me, a sinner, out there having a good old time, whooping it up at the club, whatever else. But then I'm not good enough to go to church with you. I mean, this is how some of these believers, backsliders, are. They put on a false front on Sunday, right? They walk around as if you don't exist. They won't talk to you about God because you're their little plaything. Okay? I know I'm hitting home with some folks. Then when they realize that they shouldn't be with your type, right? Because you're in darkness and you're not like the rest of them. Then they want to crucify you. They want to be Jack the Ripper on you, you know, verbally assault you, possibly, you know, abuse you. Now, these three individuals didn't put their hands on me. They would have been hurt and they knew it because I had already went through some things. So they weren't stupid enough to do that. But what they did do was verbally, you know, say some things to me. And I'm saying, but don't you realize that you're in darkness and you're no better than I am? You know, this was before I was sold out for Christ. And I'm saying, oh, so now you want to abuse me because you decided to take a walk on the dark side and you did it without Jesus. And I was stronger in the darkness to override your little light, and you're mad at me. Be mad at yourself because you should have been a stronger Christian. So basically, I debilitated those so-called believers. And then they call themselves wanting to attack me. But their God attacked them, right? Their God attacked them for even going over to the dark side, for even messing around. Because see, I wasn't, like I said, sold out for Christ. And I could see them. They were weak. You know, but hey, I wanted some benefits out the deal just like everybody else. So I tell you these things because if you are that believer that, you know, is behind closed doors talking about Jesus, Jesus, but then you get around a weak believer, a backslider or what have you, then they want to crucify you and everything else. Or you might be that one trying to crucify other folks because of your weak self. Stop for a minute. Stop for a minute with all of that and cut off some folks and stop going into sin and stop hanging out with darkness. And stop trying to benefit from darkness too, because people can see. People can see when they're being used. You can say Jesus all you want, but one thing about it, folks know the backsliders. They know the hypocrites. And I hate to say it, but some folks deserve to be told. They deserve to go through because you shouldn't be playing two sides of the fence. Bottom line, the Lord told us in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. A lot of times the reason why these folks get caught up in some foolishness, because I know some of you all say, why my daughter go through like she does? Why does my son, why does my cousin, you know, why does my mother or my father or my, you know, step parents or whatever? Let me tell you something. A lot of times they go through because they still love the world. They still love the world. They love that house. They love that car. They love, you know, the food. And you can see that on some folks. They love it. They love all that more than they would ever love Jesus. It's just lip service. The Lord said, it's just lip service. They're just a stench in my nostrils. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, and I'm not going to hear them. The minister's going to lie and tell everybody when they die that, oh, this was a brother that loved the Lord and all this. And the Lord said, no, that's not the truth. Or you got some family members, oh, my mother, she was just in love with the Lord. No, she wasn't. She was using the Lord like she used you and she used everybody else. Let's just be real about these things. When you see that that fruit is spoiled, we don't go over there and pick the fruit, make a drink with the fruit, and then go out and allow that substance to mimic that person that we grew up with or the dysfunction that we're around. We don't do that. But folks love the world so much that they actually mirror the folks that are in sin, that are lost, that are in darkness. Well, that's my mama. That's my daddy. I've said it before. So what? You know that mama and daddy can go to hell too? Do you know this? I'm trying to tell some people because I don't want to see some folks living in hell on earth and living in hell once it's all said and done and their eyes are closed. This God that I serve, some of you all, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he is in the Bible and he does have a hell. He is the creator behind Satan and he is the creator behind Jesus. He is the one that makes the sun go up and the sun come down. He's the one that also changes night to day. He's the one that can stop a man's heartbeat. And he's the one that can also revive a man's heartbeat. The same holds true for a woman and a child. This is not the type of God that wants us to be sitting up there loving the world. But that other one, that one whose name is Lucifer, Satan, Prince of Darkness, and all of those other names that people come up with, old Greek names that they chant and so forth. That one right there, he wants you to love the world. He wants you to love the world and the people in it and everything around it so much to the point that when it fails, when the people fail you, when the things fail you, that you'll fall apart. And eventually, what are you going to do? You're either going to kill, you're either going to steal, or either you're going to destroy others or destroy yourself in the process. Got him. That's how he operates. And folks are serving that God and mixing him up with the one who's in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, saying, well, I serve the Lord. You better know who you serve. There's a lot of folks that's so twisted in their mentality that they got speech that sounds a little bit like Lucifer and a little bit like Jesus, a little bit like, you know, this mama that they've been listening to for umpteen years, and a little bit like the people at the church. And I mean, they're all mixed up. And some of these folks will send me messages and I can tell what's going on with them. And I don't even entertain that type of conversation. I don't even go there with them. I just pray for them and keep it moving. God tells me don't respond. You get some who right off the bat, you're wrong right there. I know that's an argument coming. Why am I going to entertain that kind of conversation? I know I got some other ones that come along and they say some silly things, just downright silly. And I know I'm dealing with an immature young person or an older person that has been sitting in the church for so long that they are infantile. In the spiritual realm. Why is this? Why is that? You know, why did you do this? Why did you say that? Look, I don't have that type of time. Read the Bible. I'm not breaking down everything. I'm supposed to bring awareness. I'm a messenger of the Lord. Jeremiah wasn't breaking every little thing down. He was sharing the word that God gave him. That was the end of it. He didn't go back trying to explain everything. Malachi, same thing. Okay. The major prophets and the minor prophets was saying what needed to be said and they kept it moving. There's too many people that need to hear the gospel to be wasting time as answering every little itty bitty question. Well, when exactly Noah, I could hear it, hear some folks now while Noah was building the ark. When exactly is this supposed to happen, this flood, Noah? And I mean, are you really, you know, hearing from the Lord? Yeah, right. You know, and they're laughing at him and everything while he's building the ark. Okay, but they weren't laughing when their bodies got swept away. And that's what's going to happen with a lot of folks, because they're hearing the message, but they're not doing anything about it. They're being fed for the moment and they're excited. And then they go back to doing their same old devilish types of things. They're loving the world. But the Lord says, 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, listen up, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the minute a person is telling you a lot about how much they love their mamas and their daddies and everything else, and they're talking about they love food and they love this gospel singer and they love this R&B artist and they love this rocker and they love this person and that person and they love traveling and they just always putting love on everything about the world, even though it sounds really good, that's a person that don't have the love of the Father in him or her. Okay. I listen to that kind of conversation and I say, I don't hear anything about Jesus. I don't hear nothing about the spiritual realm or God. Lots of talk about everything else and everybody else. Okay. I know where I stand with this person. You see, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, right? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that flesh wants everything, everything that's downright evil, dirty, nasty, despicable. Bring it on. You even got some people that talk that way. Remember, I wasn't always saved. They talk that way in the bedroom and they talk that way outside the bedroom. Bring it on. Bring it, right? They're nasty in their conversation, behind closed doors as well as out there in the open. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, they got to see something downright nasty and dirty. And, you know, I can't even get into all of it, but you know what I'm talking about. And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, very prideful. We got into this before, just a little reminder. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Be ye reminded. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't that lust go away so quick? You may have lusted for something. Come on now. I told you I wasn't always saved. You may have lusted for something for years or for months or for days or for weeks. Some of you all meeting people on the internet got all sorts of lust going on. Oh, it's love. No, it's not. It's lust. You sitting up there and you lusting on that day that you're going to get into bed with that person. You lusting after that thing. You're prideful in how you do things. You're talking about, oh, I have this, I have that, just to lead people on, right? You lust it. And then what happens? As quick as you had all of these emotions on the inside, wanting all these things to take place, guess what? It all goes away, don't it? Now you got to listen to this person bumping their gums about every little thing, talking about this, talking about that. Now you got to, you know, open your heart up and your mind up and everything else. I'm talking about those individuals that's out in the world, okay, that's still trying to, you know, get to the place of really, you know, experiencing and loving the Lord. But you see how it is with some folks. Now you just don't really have that connectedness with them. But all of that lusting that you did that you thought was love, right? All of that, I just want to connect with this one and that one. I want to go here. I want to do some things. My life is so boring. It's dull. I'm used to some, you know, excitement. Things are stale, you know. And then as quick as you get that little fleshly desire, right, met, then it's what? More the same. More the same. That's why God wants you not to be caught up in these sorts of things. He really doesn't, because he knows how temporal it is. He knows that it's not fulfilling to your soul. It's just not. The people are not. The food is not. The stuff that's on television is not. The work is not. The money that you get. Come on, where is it going, right? As soon as you get it, boom, it's gone. It's just not fulfilling. But you lusted for these things. People told you got to go after these things. You know, somebody said, try this, try that. You tried this, you tried that. Okay, been there, done it, seen a movie. The stars, a lot of them have done all sorts of things that will blow your mind. And yet they are still not satisfied. Why? Why? Because they cannot experience the fullness of love and peace and happiness, because all of that comes from light. It comes from God. And if I don't have that type of relationship with God, I'm going to eat the food and it's just going to be more the same. It could be the finest food, tastiest, but you know, you can have the finest female, the finest man, you know, smell good, look good and everything. And then you get what you get. And then it's like, right? Love not the world. Please, just don't. Just stop loving the world. Stop loving the world. Don't hate the world either. But just let God move on you. And God will show you how to hate what he hates and love what he loves. You see, like what he likes and dislike what he dislikes. And he will safeguard your heart and he'll safeguard your mind and he will fill that void within. Some of you all, you come on these pages because you got a void within, but God's filling it up. He's filling that void up. You don't need to chase after this one and that one. If you get hooked up with the right partner, it's going to be real. It's going to feel real. If you're not hooked up with the right partner, guess what? You can ask God to just move that person out your life. You know, because sometimes when we were in that backsliding state of mind and we were lusting and all of that, we got mixed up with the wrong folks. Let's just be real about it. And so they weren't satisfying. Maybe for the moment they were back in the day. But then as time went on, I made an error. I messed up. Of course you did. Now God could take that relationship and turn it around and make it awesome if that's what you truly want. But if that's not what you want, you might as well just throw your hands up and say, God, take this cup from me. Because it is a cup. It's a cup that is not fulfilling. It's a cup that causes all sorts of discord and dysfunction. It's a cup that you realize, what did I get myself into? You know, that's the same thing holds true when you, accept jobs. Before God gets a hold of you, you accept some job because, well, you know, it's money involved or whatever, you know. But it's not fulfilling either. You're so out of your calling, it's not even funny. I remember when I was so out of my calling with this one job and I just resented it every day. And then I started disliking the people around me and they knew it too. They looked at me and they said, she changed. Absolutely, I did. Because I started seeing people for who they really were. And I realized that I made a big error by going after the money, but not going after what God wanted me to go after. You see? So stop loving this world and allow God to move on your spirit. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. And you know this to be true when you see anytime you see fathers, daughters are all across the television and the computers and so forth. Right. And they're doing despicable acts. And you got these men saying all sorts of nasty things as well as boys. You know that the love of the Father is not in any of that mess. So why watch it? Why encourage it? Why tell little boys or men, yeah, man, I seen this, I seen that. Why do that? That's evil. And the world passeth away. Folks is dying. There's some people in my network, they're going to be burying people quickly. I can see it in the spiritual realm. And you're going to come back to these messages. You're going to come back and they're going to really resonate with you because you're going to look at the fruit on those people's trees even more so because they're gone. See, so you're going to pay closer attention to the life that they led and you're going to realize how it impacted you and why God's been after you all this time and told you not to talk to this one and not to be involved with that one because he had every intention of taking them people out of your life in Jesus' name. And he didn't want you to hurt. He didn't want you to hurt. In Jesus' name. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. And some folks are better off. Unfortunately, they are better off dead because that's all they're doing is spreading a whole bunch of lust. Lust for money. Lust for fame. Lust for power. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And there's too many parents that are guilty of that sort of thing. Too many parents guilty of lusting and encouraging their children to lust. We're doing the will of our God. We're not doing the will of parents. We're not doing the will of grandparents. We're not doing the will of any of these folks out here who claim that they're about God's business. And you know, they're so far from God. It's not even funny. Look at the movies they watch. Look at the way their bodies look. Come on now. Let's just be real. Some folks say, I don't really have time to look at all of those things. Well, you got to look at those things if you know that you're going through a bunch of mess. But if you're not going through a bunch of mess, then you don't have to look at all those things because all you got to do is stay focused on the Father. But if you keep going through some mess, yes, you're forcing yourself to have to look at people, places, and things that you'd rather not look at. But you keep going through the mess. So you got to look at something. Running from it is not going to bring the healing that you need. Ignoring the elephant in the room is not going to get the results that you're after. So yes, you are going to have to keep looking at some folks and you know, disconnecting from some people until you get it in your spirit that, guess what? They no longer govern me. Their precepts and concepts no longer have influence over me. I'm going to stop acting irrational and crazy over the situation. I'm going to do what's going to bring me some peace of mind. And then once you recognize all of the stuff that you're doing and not doing, then you can finally move all of that stuff out the way so that you can focus on what the Father's will is. I know I keep reminding some folks of this because they're not changing yet. Saints got to keep praying so that we can move on up out of this family stuff and relationship stuff for a while. Come on, keep praying, praying for these people in this network. I'm telling you, they're stubborn and rebellious folks. I want to get into the international stuff, but I keep feeling led to come back to these things. The international stuff right now is like a dysfunctional family. And we got to address these issues. We got to talk about the stuff that's in our air. We got to talk about the stuff that's, you know, in our food. We got to talk about, you know, these mind control puppets on strings that keep delivering these messages and want to, you know, get into our pockets. We got to go a little bit deeper with this, but I'm still trying to get some folks to disconnect from their dysfunctional family members who are also like puppets that keep polluting their minds with some foolishness. In Jesus' name. Who got boyfriends and girlfriends as well who keep polluting their minds with some foolishness, who keep getting caught up in this dysfunctional relationships. They call it a relationship. God calls it toxic. He calls it toxic. Holding on. Why are you holding on? Because there's nobody else out there. Because this is what I'm familiar with. Why are you holding on? Because, well, there's some money involved. And, you know, this is my children's father. This is my children's mother. Why are you holding on? Because, well, my mom and my dad, you know, that's all I really got. And they've been there. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm just going to have to keep tolerating, you know, them coming in the room at nighttime doing whatever. What? What? And you got some folks that's what's happening. Sexual abuse is prevalent. Pedophilia and so forth is sick and it's prevalent. Relatives messing around with relatives. I see it in the spiritual realm. I don't talk about it much, but I see it. And my heart is sickened sometimes. Just being on YouTube, I have to take breaks because I know that that's what's going on. And these people can't even talk about it. They can't talk about it. They just listen to the messages and hope that sooner or later I address it. I'm not going to stay on that topic for too long because you know it's wrong. Bottom line, you know it's wrong. And you know that you're going to have to seek some professional counseling. You know that you're going to have to, you know, look for some folks to help you out, you know, that are believers. You know these things. It's just a matter of when are you going to do it. Then you got some folks that are still in those violent relationships. You got others that are still in emotionally abusive relationships. And all they keep talking about is the 20 plus years they've been together. I could care less about those double digits because I know that God is pulling some people up out of these relationships. Those feelings that you once had, they're long gone for some of you all. And you know it too. All God's doing is preparing your mind to bury some folks. He's preparing your mind to bury the relationship. He's preparing your mind to get your money together so that you can come up out of these miserable relationships. You see? So I thank God. I thank God for what he's doing. Some folks say it's so much destruction and upset and everything ever since I started walking with the Lord. Well, that's what has to happen. There has to be a tearing down and a tearing away in order for you to get to a place to truly serve the Lord like you're supposed to. And are you willing to do that? I'm still waiting on some people to say, yes, I'm in. So I'm thanking the Lord for what he's about to do in your life. And I'm trusting and believing and hoping that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God. You got to love God. You can't love the world and all that's in it. You got to love God. I thank you so much for listening, and to God be the glory.